Hi, and welcome to the Passion Podcast. It's Louie coming to you from the Passion House in Alpharetta, Georgia. It's good to be back with you, and so glad you've tuned in with us today. And if you're new to the Passion Podcast, I want to say welcome. And if you're one of our original 217 listeners, then we're glad you are with us as well. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about a big step in Passion's journey. Passion City Church is coming this next Sunday night. It's pretty crazy to think that I actually am a pastor as of right now because the church has been meeting for a couple of months now, but our first public gathering is coming up on Sunday, and I want to talk a little bit about that. And I want to tell you about a couple of things that are coming up not too far down the road. One of them coming up really soon, next Monday, the live launch of Passion 2010 registration with a webcast right here from the Passion House. And then coming up in April, something really cool that's going to be happening on Good Friday, and I'll get to that a little bit later in the podcast. But just want to say welcome to all you guys wherever you are. Hope you're having a good February. And February, that sounded pretty weird coming out, and it's Valentine's week, so it's either a single awareness week for you, or you need to get busy right now and start doing something special for that significant person in your life. And I think it's a good time of the year to break out the creative streak. Everybody's got a little bit of one in there somewhere. And do something special for that person in your life. Everybody can go buy a card at the Walmart or the Walgreens or wherever you buy your cards, but I think it's really cool to, you know, get the paper out, do a little something simple. Doesn't have to be extravagant is what I've learned, but it goes a long way. And I'm thinking right now, man, I've got to figure out how to do that this week because we got a lot coming up. But anyway, it's February already. We just got back in from L.A. and settled back into Atlanta. We were out there for the Grammys this weekend, which is always a crazy trip. And it's just awesome, A, to go and to be there in support of Chris. He's been nominated for 2 Grammys now. He was nominated this year for Gospel Contemporary Pop Album and did not win again for the second time, which is kind of a really big letdown for me personally. I think I have my hopes too high every time, but they give his award out in the pre-show. In fact, they give almost all the Grammys out in the pre-show. If you watch the telecast this year, it was 3.5 hours long. I think the most music that's ever been crammed into 3.5 hours. I mean, Radiohead, Coldplay, U2, Neil Diamond, all the big stars, you know, which was a great moment. Neil Diamond, by the way, if you didn't watch the Grammys. But they give most of the Grammys away, I think about 100 and something of them, in the pre-show afternoon Grammy time. And it kind of goes by pretty fast because a lot of people aren't there for some reason or another. And in the category Chris was in, the person who won the Grammy was not present. And so the Grammy goes too. And you're about, you know, holding your breath at that point. You think it's not a big deal. I'm not going to get nervous. You know, I'm just, it's cool. We're just hanging out here, you know, and they get to the thing and the Grammy goes to, and you're not breathing at that point. And they say somebody else's name and you're like, oh, all right. So you're clapping. And I actually like the person that got the Grammy a whole lot. She is amazing. But you're kind of like, yeah, and she's not there. So then the person says, oh, well, they're not there. So we'll accept this on their behalf. And then the person, the little voiceover recording starts doing the next category. And I mean, they are on to the next thing. And you're like, that was it. We came all the way here from all over the country. We got all dressed up and we're sitting here for this moment and boom, it's over. And it's not even the moment of somebody accepting it and going up and doing the music and getting on the deal and having the speech. And at least you kind of live in it for a minute. It's done. They're not here. We're on to the next award. And before then we were into, like, you know, opera recordings and it was fantastic. But nonetheless, I felt personally, and I just want to say this publicly, incredibly honored and proud of what God has allowed Chris to carry that took him to the Grammys and just to be recognized in the same room with people like Duffy, who won an award in the pre-show thing, and Robert Plant, Alison Krauss. So you know Alison Krauss, by the way, this is just free for our podcast audience, is the most Grammy-winning female artist of all time and has surpassed with the past Grammys where she won 5 Grammys this past Grammys. She surpassed Stevie Wonder. She has 26 Grammy Awards. That's pretty amazing. And she got a couple of those in the session that we were in. And just to be mentioned with those kinds of people and to be recognized, to be carrying something significant musically in our culture and for the world was pretty awesome. And I love that moment of just being there, being in the mix with all those people, being in the room with all those people and going, yeah, maybe we're not as well known as some of you guys are, but what we're carrying is just as significant and maybe even in some ways more significant. So it's a cool weekend. We did get to go to the EMI party afterwards, which we weren't sure how it was going to work out, but it turned out to be a scene. And I was freaking out. We were in there. We got to hang out with Coldplay, which was pretty cool for all of us, and Gwyneth was there, and it was kind of a nice little deal. Got to say congratulations to Chris Martin and tell him I was really excited for him that they won a couple of Grammys. And there were some other people there. But then at some point, right in the middle, a big commotion happens in this party. We're at this hotel and right near Beverly Hills and out in Hollywood, and we're kind of between Hollywood and Beverly Hills, and we're in this big place, tons, and I don't know how many people are in there, maybe 100, 200 people in this party. And all of a sudden, huge commotion, and through the door comes Paris Hilton. She's just blowing into this party. Come to find out after the fact that she crashed the party. They almost threw her out of the party, but then they decided to let her stay because they didn't want the bad publicity of throwing her out and that whole scene that was going to cause. But it was pretty wild to be standing there just kind of like eyeball to eyeball with Paris Hilton, and it was like, this is really surreal, and it was kind of nutso. But we did get to hang out and meet some really nice people and got to tell what we're doing. You know, it's just cool to meet people, and they're like, well, what's your angle on this deal? Well, we work with this little label called Six Steps Records, and well, what kind of music do you guys make? Well, we make Christian music, mostly worship music, just to put words in the mouths of people, celebrate who God is in their lives and in the world. And it just is really awesome to be in that moment. And so I'd say congratulations, Chris, and all of his guys and everybody at Six Steps that worked so hard this year, and the whole Six Steps family. We're proud of you, and it's great to be back in the real world now. It's kind of cool to be at the Grammy party one Sunday night and to know that 1 week later we're going to be at Passion City Church. Chris and I will be leading together. That's what it's really all about. That's way more exciting and way more meaningful. In fact, we talked about it a couple of times during the weekend while we were in L.A. Man, it's next Sunday night, Passion City Church, going to be the greatest thing in the world. So Grammys rank, they're big. It's a big deal. It's a big honor. But being able to start a church and plan a church is one of the greatest things in the world. And I haven't said a lot about that. I don't know if you've noticed or not. Some of you probably don't really care, but if you have paid much attention, we haven't blogged a lot about the church. I'm not Twittering about the church because I don't really believe in Twittering, but that's just a personal thing. I know a lot of you are and a lot of you do, and that's fantastic, and I'm so excited for you. But there's no one on the planet that I am so desperately concerned about that I want to be updated on their every move in life, and so that person hasn't emerged yet, but and I'm certainly not one of those people for anyone else. So I'm not Twittering about the church, and I just kind of trash Twittering, and that's a terrible thing, Jonathan. You probably Twitter, don't you? A little bit, yeah. Jonathan is a Twitterer, so he's sitting over there looking at me like, what are you talking about, man? Twittering is where it's at. It's what people are doing right now. But anyway, I'm a non-Twitterer because, A, I just really don't have time, and I don't have that much to Twitter about. You know, it doesn't take a lot of time to Twitter, Jonathan. All you got to do is type six words, you know? I mean, what am I saying? I don't have time. I don't have time to type six words. Everybody has time to type six words and say, I'm at the Target, you know, in the housewares. I just saw, you know, Tony La Russa at the after party, you know? I'm standing next to Gwyneth Paltrow. Wow. Anyway, that's beside the point. But I'm not blogging, Twittering, podcasting, or anything else about the start of the church. It's been kind of quiet on our end, and we're letting all the other experts out there speculate on what we're doing and how good a job we are or aren't doing on, with Passion City Church. But I do have a couple things I want to share with you about it, because it's a pretty huge step for us in our lives and something that we've taken so seriously that, honestly, it's caused us to spend a lot more time on our knees before God and a lot less time trying to talk to people about what we're doing. But we're going to take a short break, and I'm going to come back and just talk a little bit about the launch of Passion City Church coming up February 15th. We're excited and humbled and a little bit nervous about it. So take this break with us, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Just because I'm losing doesn't mean I'm lost. Doesn't mean I'll stop. Doesn't mean I'm a cross.
So we're back, and during the break, we've been having a little bit of a conversation here about Twittering, because Jonathan wanted to defend his Twittering position a little bit, so he's clarified that he's only a every other day Twitterer. That's a hard word to say, Twitterer. You're an every other day Twitterer. But anyway, he also wanted to note for all of you guys that are Facebook status updaters that you're basically microblogging, which is the same as Twittering. So you can't hate on Twittering and be updating your status on Facebook all the time, which I've never. I did put Louis Giglio is awakeningthebook.com. It's the first and only status update I've ever had on Facebook. And, you know, I don't really actually manage my own Facebook page, so I didn't even put that on there. So it's kind of a weird deal that way. But that's beside the point. We're digressing here into stuff no one cares about. If you Twitter, could you just send Jonathan a Twitter link so that he can hook into your Twitter, and then he can tell me what you're doing And that would be really awesome. Jonathan could just give me a buzz and say, hey, I just got an update. So-and-so, you know, is at Denny's with a friend having the grand slam. And I'll be like, cool, that's awesome. Thanks for letting me know. So anyway, I think we successfully. Are we alienating people by now? I mean, are we losing listeners? You're losing you. Okay, so Jonathan's going to bail out on me if I don't stop on the Twittering. I'll start Twittering because of that. I think I need to make it up to people. So watch for that. Anytime, sometime coming this year, I'll start Twittering. But the reason I'm not Twittering about the church is not because I'm really not a Twitterer. I really have nothing for or against Twittering, to be honest with you. But I really would agree that I don't know that I have that much to say. But I wanted to just clarify a couple things, if I could. We've been in this process for about a year now of really earnestly setting our eyes toward Passion City Church. I've been in the process personally, and Shelley and I, as a couple, have been in the process for a couple of years now of sort of aiming toward what we're about. And, you know, the 15th is cool for us because it's our public launch, and a lot of people be coming through the door that, you know, are just trying to figure out what is it you guys are doing and what is this church about, or I think I know what it's about, and I'm excited about that. But we've been meeting as a core team for months and months and months now. And so we've already been in this mode of pastoring, living in community with each other, worshiping together. And it's just been incredible because there hasn't been anybody looking in from the outside. And I'm not knocking that because I understand that there's some visibility to our movement. And so we can't just plant a local church and nobody know about it. But at the same time, it's been really cool just to have 20 people in a room in someone's basement just having worship and opening the Word together and praying for each other and being the church, you know, together. And it doesn't take a building and it doesn't take a lot of production and flash and all kinds of organization to be the church. It just takes people who have a common heart to come around the truth of Scripture and to be led by the Holy Spirit and to live in community and relationship with each other and to be able to amplify that story to the world. And so that's been an incredible privilege for us, and we're incredibly excited about opening the doors to the city. But we're also loving just being together, just a little small clump of people, and just trying our best to love God and hear from Him and love each other. So it's been cool. And the reason why we haven't talked a lot publicly about what are we doing and how are we starting the church and what kind of church is it going to be and what's our philosophy and, you know, me blogging every week about, you know, here are the 7 key things to planning a church or the 5 strategies that, you know, have really come to rest in our hearts about what this means is because we don't really have much of a plan. And if you didn't know this already, I'm a rookie pastor. I've been on church staffs before, but I've never been a pastor of a local church before, so I'm a rookie. And so what that means is I don't know anything about planning a local church because I've never done that before. And so it'd be a little presumptuous for me, A, to start the I'm planning a local church Twitter and let everybody know what's going on because I don't have any advice for anyone that's planning a local church. And a lot of people have called me and emailed me over the last year since this news has kind of been out there and they said, hey, I hear you're planning a local church. Can I come down to Atlanta and spend an afternoon with you or spend an hour with you or have lunch with you and just hear what you guys are thinking and, you know, what your plans are? And I've just said, you could come to lunch, but if you're a pastor already, I would like to sit and hear you say what's in your heart about being a pastor, and you could advise me on being a pastor because I don't have any advice for anybody about being a pastor, and I don't have any advice about planning a church. And somebody's like, well, Louis, you have to at least know sort of what you're doing. Nobody is going to listen to this podcast and go, yeah, I believe that. I believe you don't have any thoughts, any plan, any philosophy, any strategy, no concrete thoughts in your mind. And that's not true. Obviously, we've been praying about this for a long time. We have a lot of thoughts in our mind. But we don't have anything to say in the sense of, here's how you do what we're about to do. Because we are on the verge of doing something, and how would we possibly know how to do it when we haven't even done it yet? And people, the main question people are asking me, and I think asking our team, is, well, what's the church going to be like? What are you guys going to do? I mean, you've got Passion. Got Chris Tomlin leading worship. Nathan and Christy Knuckles are in the mix, and the Redmonds are in town, and it's you and this whole movement. I mean, what's it going to be like? What are you guys going to do? And someone even sent me a note, and they said, hey, I wouldn't miss this for the world. It's going to be history. This night is going to make history. And I was like, I get that encouragement, and I thank you for it. I think what you're saying is I think this is going to be a really significant thing in the movement of God. But for me, I just had to back up from that thought because we're really not making history on the 15th of February. History was made when Christ gave his life for every single person on this planet, and when 3 days later he was raised up from the dead by the power of God. And then he sent the Holy Spirit into the lives of ordinary people to make them extraordinary followers and the builders of this glorious church that he, through them, is constructing on every inch of dirt all over this planet right now. That was history making. And since that moment, there has been this long history, this lineage of men and women of faith and faithfulness who have carried out the mission of expanding on the story of Jesus, amplifying the story of Jesus in a local community context called the church. And I know it's imperfect. I know it's flawed. I know there have been good ones and bad ones. There have been great ones and horrible ones. There have been big ones and tiny ones. There have been some underground, some above ground. There have been some in trees and some in jungles and some in valleys and some in cities and some in high-rise buildings. There have been some of this flavor and some of that flavor, and some had a great reputation and some have had a horrible reputation. Some have helped people and some have hurt people. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it is a glorious church that God is building. And it is flawed, and it is imperfect, and I'll tell you why, because guys like me are trying to lead it. That's why it's flawed, and that's why it's imperfect, because we are flawed, and we are imperfect, and we are reaching for what God has for us, but we haven't arrived there yet. We haven't attained yet the fullness of what God has promised to do in completing his work in our lives. And I know there's a lot of negativity about the church, but there's so much more positivity about what God is doing in this world, and it absolutely fires me up to just stand in the line. I don't know where we are in the line. I mean, how many churches do you think have been planted on the earth since Pentecost? And we are somewhere in that line. Way, way, way the heck down that line is this little bitty grain of sand called Passion City Church, joining this Sahara Desert of kingdom activity that God has launched all around the world. And then people look at us as this little grain of sand, church, local church number 7,228,410, starting in 2009 in Atlanta, Georgia, with a public service at the Tabernacle on February 15th, and everyone looks at us and says, "Wow, what are you guys going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do?" And I'm like, we're going to try to not mess it up because there is nothing new to do. The story that we want to celebrate and amplify and proclaim to our city and to the world is that Christ has come and Christ has died and Christ will come again. He is life and the author of life and the author of hope. He is the life, the one who gives transformation, that puts lives back together, that restores, that rescues, that redeems. He is everything, and he is the story. And so for us, our whole hope and our whole message is just to magnify and amplify the story of Jesus and to be faithful in this long line of people of faith. And we mentioned it earlier, but just by God's timing and providence, we're meeting at the Tabernacle. This building we're meeting in first opened in 1911 for the first worship service. 1911, okay, so almost 100 years ago. And it was packed, packed out to the walls with thousands of people on 1911 Sunday morning. And they sang worship songs to God, one of which we're going to sing Sunday night on the 15th. Because we know what songs they sang at the very first time they opened this church. And they had a vision for this city. They had a vision for this nation and for the world. And 100 years before them, there was another church somewhere nearby. And 100 years before that, the earliest people that came into the state of Georgia, one of the original colonies, there were little gatherings of worship everywhere. And who knows, you know, before that, all over the world, you just dial back history into the centuries before, and the church has been there. And so we're standing in this long line of faith, and we just want to be faithful. And when people say, "Well, what kind of church is it going to be? You know, what kind of style are y'all going to go after? What, you know, what are you going to do?" And I'm like, "Well, A, there are only about 7 words you can answer that with in America right now. You're this kind of church, this kind, this kind, this kind, this kind, this kind, or this kind." And I'm like, "I think A, that's too few many words." And then somebody said to me the other day, "Well, are you going to be an Acts 2 church?" And I guess maybe that's the new buzzword that's out there. You know, everybody wants to be an Acts 2 church, and I get that. You know, the passage says, if you're not familiar with it, this is a great passage for all of us to hang on to, but it says that, talking about the very first gathering of believers after the Holy Spirit came, it says everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. This is at the end of the second chapter of Acts. And many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. Now, that's just a great statement to hold on to, I think, for anybody that's thinking about being a part of this collective called the local church. Everybody, not just a person got it, but everybody. It was so powerful what God was doing. Everybody sensed it. Everybody kept feeling a sense of awe. And many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. And I hear people reference back to this passage, which I do all the time in my dream for what can happen in a local community of faith in Christ. But if being an Acts 2 church means that I'm going to lift out 6 or 7 key phrases from these verses and put those on the board and say, that's the new model. You have to have this thing, this thing, this thing, this thing, this thing, because that's what the Acts 2 church had. Then I back up a step from that and I say, really, did the Acts 2 church know? Oh, here's what we got to do. We got to break bread from house to house and be with one mind in the temple. All right, so check. Who's going to be in charge of that? All right, Brad, you're in charge of breaking bread from house to house. We got to establish that ministry right away because that's what we do as an Acts 2 church. And we got to meet people's needs as they have them. That's what we're going to be about. Somebody has a need, we're going to meet it. And I've got to go sell something I've got to get enough to help you meet the need that you have. If I've got extra, I'm going to do that so that we can have all things in common. They didn't set out with those values. They didn't know they were the Acts 2 church. They didn't know they were the first church of all these churches to come and that all of us were going to be looking back at them going, what's the model? They had the teachings of Jesus. They didn't even have the New Testament. They didn't even know Paul's unfolding of the gospel. Paul wasn't a believer yet. He was going to try to kill them for a while before he even got it. They had the law and the prophets, but they didn't have the full Old Testament in the sense that we have it now. And so what did they have? They had the teachings of Jesus. They had a story. Christ died and was raised from the dead, and we saw it. We were eyewitnesses of it. And they had the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what they had. They didn't have a model. They didn't have a blueprint. They didn't have a book, a plan. They didn't have a conversation. They didn't have a committee that said we should be an Acts 2 church. They just had the teachings of Jesus, a phenomenal story of death, burial, and resurrection. That was powerful. And the Holy Spirit infusing their lives, turning their fear into boldness, and bringing their weakness into his power and strength. And with those things, they started following this voice and following this path and doing these things because that's what seemed right after hearing the teachings of Jesus, seeing death, burial, and resurrection, and being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what they did. And so I think for us, if that's what it's about to be an Acts 2 church, to really rally around the teachings of Jesus, that's to embrace all of Scripture, and of course we do that, but to rally around the teachings of Jesus, to tell a story of death, burial, and resurrection, and what that means for our lives and our city and the world, and to follow in the power of the Holy Spirit, that leading voice of the heart of God leading us forward, I think that we're going to become, and anybody else who does that, is going to become the church that God wants us to be. And so that's our plan. And that's what we're hoping to accomplish. And our doors are going to be open on the 15th. If you're one of those people in the Atlanta area and you're coming, come prayerfully and come ready because we want to touch the city that night. We're going to do that in a really beautiful way and be able with a little bit from every one of us to change the life of a single mom in our city. And we're so excited about that. And we're going to also be able to give, we hope, the scripture, the truth, Philippians, Colossians, Galatians, and Ephesians for the Rom and Shatika people of Southeast Asia who have no Bible in their heart language. And we want to be able to provide that part of the translation ongoing through 1 Million Can for them. And so come ready that night and prepare to be a part of being the church for the city. Christy Knuckles has written this new song that some of you may have heard. She's been singing it on the Chris Tomlin Hello Love Tour, but it's also going to be on her new album, which is coming out later this year, and you can download this song. We're going to give you a little taste of it right now going into the break, but you can download it for free on her website, and when you do that, just put your email address in there, and I know she wants to stay in touch with you so that when the whole album comes out, she can connect back to you. But the song is called Life Light Up, And the chorus is so amazing for our heartbeat for Passion City Church, because it says, "Let my life light up like the city lights, and let it burn for you in the darkest night." And there are a lot of lights in Atlanta, and there are a lot of great churches in the city. And man, we're humbled even just to be in the company of those other communities of faith. But we want to be a light for this city and a light for the entire world. And that's why we're taking this step. And I'm telling you, if I had advice, I'd give it to you. If we had a plan, I'd share that with you. We don't have a plan. We don't have a blueprint. We don't have a formula. We just know that we have a story to tell, and the power of the Holy Spirit to tell it in a city that needs hope and that needs to hear that story of transforming power in life. And so Christy's song sums that up in an amazing way. And take a listen to this, and we'll be back in just a minute.
And in you, I can begin again. I'm part of a bigger plan, 'cause you are the great I am. And in you, your life is in my veins, and you've broken all my chains, 'cause you are the God who reigns. I may live and I may die, either way you're glorified. Bless the day I give my life away. So let my life light up like the city lights, and let it burn for you in the darkest night, Lord. Let my life light up like the city lights, and let it burn for you in the darkest night.
We're back, and if you want to get Life Light Up, you can go to christyknuckles.com and download the song for free. And man, I don't know about you, but I probably, when they demoed the song before, that's actually the recorded track that's going to be on the new album. But before, there was just a demo of it, and I must have listened to the song 100 times in my car in a period of about a month. I just would play it over and over and over and over. And that whole hope of you know, Matthew that's in there, let people see my good works and glorify my Father who's in heaven. And that's what it's really all about, in at the heart of it all, in the heart of Passion City Church. So thank you, Christy, for just a phenomenal, phenomenal expression of our hearts. And I'm pretty sure we're going to be doing that song at Passion City Church somewhere not too far in the distant future. Couple things to let you know about, then we'll be out of here on this edition of the Passion Podcast. But Passion 2010 is coming fast. It used to be a year away, and now it's only 11 months away. It's getting faster every day. But we will be over Passion 2010 in 11 months from now. And we're just launching our website, actually, hopefully sometime over the weekend or Monday at the latest, on the 16th of February. And if you want to find out all the information about our next national gathering in Atlanta, Georgia, is January 2nd through the 5th in 2010 at Phillips Arena in the Georgia World Congress Center downtown. And we're expecting 20,000 plus students, and love for a bunch of them to be from the 17 cities we just visited on the world tour. And it's going to be phenomenal. There's a lot more information coming down the road, but some of you already know what Passion's about. You don't really need an explanation. You just want to know, when can I register and how much does it cost and all that stuff. And that information is going to be coming to you in more detail over the weekend heading into Monday. But we're going to be doing a live launch for the registration opening of Passion 2010. And it's not because we really need to do some kind of thing to get registration going. We've always done this $99 special. And you can thank me for that, by the way, out there, because I contend for that every time we get around to the Passion House. I'm like, man, we got to be able to do this for $99 for somebody. And so the first 1,000 people that register, it's going to be $99. And that's going to start during the live launch on Monday night, the 16th of February. So registration will not open until 8:30 Eastern, or sometime soon after that. In the middle of the launch, we'll open registration. And we've done this in the past. The $99 thing doesn't last very long. I don't remember how many people could register at $99 for Passion 07. But, I mean, we were watching it on a computer live when it happened, and I think 4 or 5 minutes went by, and boom, it was done. So a lot of people are already standing by for the $99, because just saving that $20 from the $129. Actually, it's $30. My math's really fantastic. But saving $30 over the 10 students is a lot of money. So, or just for you, one student's a lot of money. So that's going to happen sometime during the live launch. So what is the live launch? Well, the live launch is a concert of prayer and worship, and just a hangout time, basically, for all of us in the Passion Movement. So if you're in Seoul, Korea, you can join us. If you're in London, England, you can join us. If you're in Sao Paulo, Brazil, you can join us. If you're in Cape Town, South Africa, please join. If you're in California, we'd love to have you. New York, somewhere in Canada. If you're in the Cayman Islands, you can join us. Wherever you are, Gladys, we want you to be a part of it as well. And make sure you link in with us. So you go to this deal on our website, Passion 2010 page. You go to 268generation.com, click on the little Passion 2010 icon, take you to the landing page for the new 2010 website. And on there, there'll be a little test link. And you just click on that link. You'll see a little gray screen that lets you know that, hey, you're linked up good. And once it starts happening at 8:30, if you're sitting there in front of your computer, you and your roommate or your suite mate or you and four or five kids from class, or you and some guys that are in a Bible study together, or you and your church group sit around, doesn't matter. But it'd be better if you had some friends with you, because we're going to pray together. You're going to pray on your campus. You're going to pray sitting where you're sitting. We're going to all pray together. We're going to worship together. Chris is going to be leading us some, have some other guests drop into the Passion House, and we'll be broadcasting live video right from the back room. So it's going to be fantastic. We can show everybody around where we do the podcast from. This is going to be exciting. Everybody will get to see the big room in the back of the Passion House. So it's going to be cool. We're going to have some students there. I think all the SEC powerhouses like Auburn are going to be represented. And then some of the lesser powerhouses like Alabama. I think some students are coming from there and from Georgia. Georgia State, maybe Kennesaw State, Clemson. We got some folks coming down representing the ACC. So a few local students are going to come be with us, and we'll all be crammed in the big room at the back of the Passion House. So it's going to be awesome. 8:30 Eastern Time, Monday night, February 16th, we'll be live. So you'll be sitting there in front of your computer. You'll be watching that little box. There'll be a countdown that comes, and boom, there we'll be. And we'll be talking back and forth. Hopefully you can send us a little email and let us know where you're listening from. There's be a place on there where you can put in your location when you sign on that lets us know where you're from, so we can kind of know who's out there listening and what's going on. And hey, we only got like less than a week to pull this off, and we haven't done any promotion for it. So we really need your help is what I'm saying. And if you could, you could dial in to this one process and start twittering about the live launch on the 16th. That would be awesome. I'll be a big fan of twittering for at least a day or two if you'll do that. But put it on your status page on your Facebook. Tell your suite mates, roommates, friends about it, people in your ministry at your church or people you work with or whatever. Hey, Passion's doing this live link. Students are going to be linked together over the internet with this webcast across the nation and around the world, and hopefully we'll get some of you guys that'll be up in the middle of the night in South Africa, and or the middle of the morning in South Africa, or what, middle of the night somewhere else in the world, and we'll all be kind of linked in together. It'd be awesome. Hour and a half, 8:30 to 10 Eastern Standard Time, live launch, and in the middle of it, at some point, we'll open registration with a big fanfare. I think we'll probably give the first person that registers a prize of some kind. I'm sure we'll do that. We'll figure that out between now and Monday. We'll have a celebration. We'll invite them over to the Passion Twitter launch, and it'll be fantastic. So please help us spread the word. Live launch, Passion 2010. Let it go, Louis. Let the Twittering go. Take a deep breath. Go back to yoga. Just release that. All right. So February 16th, church, Sunday night, live launch of Passion 2010, our national gathering here in Atlanta. On Monday night. It's going to be a pretty big week. And just a footnote coming up, and you'll hear a lot more about this down the road, but if you're anywhere within 2 or 3 hours of Atlanta, we're going to be hosting a Good Friday service here in the city for the whole city. And Chris Tomlin's Hello Love Tour is not coming to Atlanta, and so he's going to be with us. Israel Houghton and New Breed are going to be with us that night. Christy, Matt Redman, myself. And it's a contemplation and celebration of the cross on Good Friday night. It's going to be at the Verizon Amphitheater out here in Alpharetta. It's a bunch of room for a whole lot of people. And you can find out more information after this weekend on PassionCityChurch.com, or a little bit later down the road, you can go to GoodFriday@Verizon.com and check it out. But we'd love for you to get all the details. I think it's $10 to come. That just helps us know who's coming, and most of the proceeds are going to go to Love Atlanta, Love the World, to help us do what we want to keep doing, and that's shining brightly for Him all over the world. So Good Friday at Verizon. It's going to be April 10th, Good Friday. and the live launch is coming up on Monday. Anything else we got going on? Man, it seems crazy around here. Every day is a new exciting thing happening, so we're going for it. Thanks for joining us on this edition. Thanks for being a part of our loyal Passion Podcast family. We are so grateful to all of you for listening, and hopefully I'll see you face-to-face next Monday night, 8:30 Eastern Time, on the live launch. If I don't see you at Passion City Church before then, take care, have a great week, and we'll see you soon.